I want to read a couple of things to you. First, a scripture which is for this particular service sermon that we're going to hear in a moment. It's Psalm 116, and you'll understand the relevance when you hear what Jeff has had to say to us. Psalm 116 says this: I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all the goodness to me? I lift up my cup of salvation. I call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And then, right at the top of the message that he'd made several copies of, it says Methodist hymn book. Actually, it says sermon number 1,248. And I presume that's not, this is just in a particular section. He's made more sermons than that, I know. And then the base psalm, and then hymn 399, which is, what shall I render to my God for all his mercy store? I'll take the gifts he hath bestowed and humbly ask for more. If you want to read that through later on, we'll maybe look at that a little bit later. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you knowing that you have the words of eternal life, and that we are thanking you for the words of life that we've heard constantly from Jeff's lips. I pray that you'll help us as we listen to the words that he has written, that we may be encouraged, strengthened, and personally closer to you as a result. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I might use words that will make it less just Jeff speaking, but us listening, if you know what I mean. So the introduction is, we've turned to the Psalms, described as the hymn book used in the temple in the Old Testament times. We think of the people gathered for worship and chanting these psalms. And yes, Psalm 116 could be used for a large company in the house of the Lord. But even so, Psalm 116 is a very individual and personal psalm. It begins with the personal pronoun. Now you see, I would never have said that. So you know it's Jeff's words. It begins with a personal pronoun, and I love the Lord. If you begin to read it, you will see that it's all about someone's personal experience. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He turned his ear to me. I will call on him. And so on down the page. So this is how we understand it. And Jeff says, as I prepared to talk to you, I took this personally for myself. I was not thinking about preaching to you. I felt it was about me, not exactly in a close parallel of events, but its sentiments were mine. I headed the page, psalms which helped me. And that's how I will bring it to you, as a scripture which has helped me. Maybe it will help you too. So let's try and benefit from these words. First, we have someone in a situation of extreme danger. Beginning with verse 1 to 6, it's definitely a crisis. Verse 3 has him all tangled up in something he can't get free from. Indeed, it is dragging him down. He's overcome with trouble and sorrow. He's calling out to God to be rescued. But he is staggering about and crying out, and greatly afflicted and dismayed. In verses 10 to 11, we see that. Well, we all have our own version of that in our lives. There are times when we are at our extreme, we are wondering where to turn next. Jeff says, mine is an incurable illness, which will be probably fatal in the end. You have your own story, he says. I see from the old prayer book that it is recommended as a psalm to be used when a lady is in the crisis of childbirth. And there are more of you here that understand that than us that don't. You know that childbirth was a dangerous risk years ago when mothers died of a regular birth. And that happened many times because there was no contraception, and then there was the possibility of a new baby every year. But we still have our own version, our own story. Jeff says, mine is an incurable illness, probably fatal in the end. But whatever it is, we have our own version of Psalm 116, which causes great distress or apprehension. We are all in this psalm. But it's also a situation of prayer, or of prayer, seeking God's help. And like the psalmist, we ask for deliverance. I guess all of you at some time have asked for deliverance from some particular problem that you have. And mostly we find the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And he gives us ease from our fears and peaceful rest. Our lives are extended onwards, and some of us live to a very great age, and most thankfully too. I want to direct you especially to see a great blessing here. Truly, he was deeply worried and upset in himself. That's the psalmist. He lost his patience with his friends, calling them names. He's very upset by himself. And yet we have these lovely words when he tells himself to relax and be at rest because of the goodness of the Lord. People talk about mindfulness nowadays. I think we need to be Godfulness in that sense, in that God will encourage us and help us to relax through some of the situations we find ourselves in. Sorry, Jeff, I do add a few things in. I'm expecting him to possibly hear this. There's a great truth here. He knows that within in himself, he's a great believer, a real believer. It was not easy for him. He knows that within himself, he is a real believer. He even calls himself an idiot, meaning of the simple-hearted, as in verse 6. He realized he was very naive, but nevertheless, he is a believer. He is very humble in thinking of himself like that, but it's true of us all. We are restless and anxious, and we forget that we are believers in the hands of a faithful God who is good to us. This is a real blessing to come out of trouble. The knowledge that we have a loving Father who is compassionate, and we shall never slip through his hands come what may. He has us in the palm of his hands. That's what Scripture says. Our names are written there. And he won't let us go, never leave you, nor forsake you. And so at the end of the psalm, we have a very meaningful thankfulness or thanksgiving. He's telling everyone in the temple about it. In fact, he's celebrating because he says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Jeff is reminded of beer and hymns at Greenbelt. Beer lovers will still sing hymns, and they had a hymn sheet with their favorite hymns on it. And there were panels in the margin which said, lift a glass to thank God for his lovely day. It's a good thing to think about. And so on. Well, the psalmist lifts a cup of salvation to the Lord. This is celebration. It is very positive to raise a glass signifying salvation to the Lord. We shall maybe partake in that in a moment or two as we receive communion and share God's love with each other. And then he remembers to pay his vows. If in his distress he made promises to God, he says that he will do what he has said he would do. It's very practical. And he says it twice, verse 14 and verse 18. So I think he means it. And the psalm ends with hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. But Jeff says, I haven't quite finished yet. I haven't quite finished with the psalm because we have a very strong challenge about it in the New Testament. It comes from the Apostle Paul, who used to have a lot of problems with the Corinthians. And he was writing to them in his second letter. It may well be that God has had problems with the people from Beaujeu. I was trying to say Beausetians. I don't know if that's them. So this is personal to us as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he had been reading Psalms 116. So at the 13th verse, it is written. And then he gives the quote, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe. Because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us in Jesus. So that the grace is reaching more and more people. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Do we? It's easy to, but we do not lose heart in the Lord. We may lose heart over Northampton football team. Or myself with Exeter City football team. But we do not lose heart with the sense of what God has to say to us and how he will care for us. One who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. So that the grace reaching more and more people, we must not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. It goes on into the next chapter. Read it afterwards, Jeff says. That's a command, no? One that we can take carefully. We do not lose heart. That is optimism, holy optimism, God-filled optimism. Faith is a better word, but that is Paul's take on this psalm. Pray it be ours too. We have our problems, some serious, as we've heard from our prayers today. And getting old can be a miserable process if we allow it to be. But we believe that belief is confirmed in the very midst of our trouble. So let's have faith and go forward. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father God, we thank you for the words which mean so much to us today, coming from a man that means so much to us, but a man that is your man. And we thank you for Jeff. And we thank you, Lord, that his message, the message he's given and asked to be given today, was so urgent in his heart for us. Lord, we thank you also for the privilege that we've had of sharing in his life. But we're looking forward to the future with you and for your blessings in our lives from day to day. And Lord, we ask that just now, the dearest wish of Jeff's heart and all who worship here may be fulfilled in that people will come into this building not just to look at it, not just to have conversations, not just to be thought of as holy, but may come in to meet you. And may we, Lord, be ready to welcome, invite, encourage, and be a blessing to those who come day by day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. I'll read the rest of that hymn, shall I, that Jeff chose. What shall I render to my God for all his mercy's store? I'll take the gifts that he hath bestowed and humbly ask for more. The sacred cup of saving grace I will with thanks receive, and all his promises embrace, and to his glory live. My vows I will to his great name before his people pay, and all I have and all I am upon his altar lay. Thy lawful servant, Lord, I owe to thee whate'er is mine, born in this family below, and by redemption thine. Thy hands created me, thy hands from sin have set me free. The mercy that hath loosed my bands hath bound me fast to thee. The God of all redeeming grace, my God, I will proclaim, offer the sacrifice of praise, and call upon his name. Praise him, ye saints, the God of love, who hath my sins forgiven. Till gathered to the church above, we sing the songs of heaven. We'll now spend a time in taking communion together, shall we? Second Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17 onwards, says this. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. It's not particularly talking to us at Beaujolais, it's talking to the people at Corinth, all right? And to some extent, I believe it. And then he goes on to say that I've received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Shall we sing the song as a preparation for our communion? Number 309, Break There the Bread of Life. This is a symbol of his body given for us. Take and eat this and be thankful. Don't fight over it now. After supper, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink you all of it. This is a symbol of his blood, shed for you and for many for the remission of our sins, giving us the hope of eternity. Take and drink it, all of you. If you retain the cup, we'll all drink together. We'll lift a glass to the glory of the King." Should we raise a glass to the King, the blood of our Lord? Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity to be blessed by you. Thank you that you're here. And thank you that you'll be with us through this next week and months and to the end of the year and then beyond. But Lord, we look forward to being together again here or with you. In Jesus' name, shall we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.